You're listening to the Known Legacy Podcast, brought to you by Known Legacy Ministries. For more information, go to knownlegacy.org. Now here's your hosts, Bill and Travis.
According to the mug, I'm the best dad. Just want to put that out there. Ever. Best dad.
It's my
ever,
mug.
Ever.
It was that
it's
or
a my mug.
And I feel like you gave it to me as a gift in declaration of, you know, I needed it today. I needed a good dad day.
I'm really glad you did it because it was either that or an old Cowboys mug.
No, don't do that.
Looks, so, and I was like, he is one of the best dads I know ever. Forever.
Forever.
So we are, it's
Known Legacy. Let's start there.
Guys, welcome to Known Legacy. We're so glad to have you on today. Man, check us out at Instagram. So all the social medias, we're so glad to have you on. Knownlegacy.org, we got a bunch of new stuff coming up, and so check us out there if you'd like to know more about who we are. We are so glad that you're on today. Travis, it's good to see your face.
Man, it's good to see you too. Info@knownlegacy.org, always check us out and get in touch with us there. We just wrapped up our first ever Known Legacy men's retreat, which was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
I thought it was pretty good right there.
I thought it was fantastic. You did a great job teaching and preaching. And
as did you.
Well, thank you, sir. That was a fun
It was a good weekend. Jaunt. Really enjoyed the time with the guys.
And I don't mean to brag, but not only the best dad ever, second place in the cornhole tournament. Thank you very much.
You did.
Second place. My shoulder's still recovering. I'm just saying.
It was rigged.
It was rigged.
It was so rigged.
It was the worst. Man, today it's 80 degrees out today.
Golly, it's gorgeous.
In February. Why is there an R in February? February.
I don't know, but here's the question I want us to wrestle with.
Okay, go for it.
First and foremost, thank you guys for checking us out and listening in. What is your current obsession? Wait. Before we go any further, I apologize. A legal disclaimer that we need to throw out to everyone that we're listening. We have not, nor will ever, take funding from the USAID. Yes. So we are fully self-funded.
Yeah, so if you'd like to make a donation, we are not right. USAID
right.
funded,
so
you know.
I know there's a lot of Christian organizations that are getting caught up in that right now. We have never been funded, nor will we be funded by them. But anyways, okay, what's your current obsession right now?
You know, it's funny, I was just talking to Kyle about this before, and it's not an obsession, but I'm learning more about cryptocurrency. I don't know why, and I'm not like, I mean, it's interesting.
That's why you don't need that USAID funding.
That's it. That's our guest from the other side.
Well, you know, let's just bring him on right now.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Hunter Day, who is the founder of 12 Gate Coffee. Give it up for our guest today with his slide in on that.
I love it.
We're just going to bring him in right now. In fact,
adding up for me now.
It is. That's it. We don't need anything. But I'm finding how like it's like the Wild West of currencies, and I'm like, and they're like, oh, just download this app. I'm like, no,
no.
And they're like, do this. Just give us your information. I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm good. I'll just learn more and kind of get. But man, thank you so much for being on today, Travis. I guess I have to ask you that question. What is your
I wish
obsession.
It could be something like financially beneficial or something like that.
Time out. It's not financially beneficial. Just
gambling.
So you know.
No, honestly, my wife and I just wrapped up Landman,
okay.
The TV series.
Whew, that's
on,
rough.
That
was
Billy
a heavy
Bob
one.
Thornton and on Paramount Plus. And man, whew, that was a great, great show. Well written. Love it. And yeah, so that's my current obsession is Landman.
It was
along
a rough
with some
show.
Music artists.
It was a rough show, but
yeah,
it was. We started watching it because from Midland, and so I'm like,
oh yeah.
But then when you know what a real Landman does, it would just have been them in like a city hall learning all the history of buildings instead of something else. So,
gotcha.
Kyle, what about you? What's your obsession right now?
Man, it's like. Every day is Christmas.
You're shuffling? Oh.
No, every day I'm shuffling. Every day is Christmas. I wake up wondering what Trump's going to do today.
Oh, good gracious.
Victory.
We're getting political today. Oh. We're getting deep political.
It's like you wake up and you open the present and say, oh, okay. Okay, the Gulf of America. And then your mom goes, hey, no, there's more under the tree. Oh, okay, Greenland. Oh, no, there's goodness. More under the tree. It's like. Every day is a victory.
We're never going to get funding from USAID now.
Good
or
gracious.
Doge or anyone.
Or
so.
Anybody. So.
Again, info@knownlegacy.org.
If you have complaints, Kyle. Typical spelling. That's all we need, and we'll forward it on to him and let him go. Anyways, no.
Thank you for sharing your obsessions.
Hunter, can you save us from this? What's your obsession?
Mine's way less exciting than y'all. it sounds like Bill needs to double down on that crypto, get a little ROI going.
Exactly. I need to make this happen.
Yeah,
so
that liberal funding just left.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I got really obsessed with cooking on the walk, like Asian food, like real deal.
Really?
Yeah. So I was in an airport in Houston about a year ago, like, you know, jet lag, and I got the Asian food, you know. If you're down in the dumps, you might as well just, you know.
Just eat Chinese
food. Yeah, just eat the airport
Americanized Chinese food.
Yeah.
MSG.
Like, man, you know, here
make
we
you
are.
Happy.
Yeah. So I had these green beans, and they were phenomenal. I mean, just like game changing. It had that flavor that you just can't get at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always assumed that, okay, it's this secret Chinese art, you
MSG.
Know, passed down from generations to generation with a coating of MSG.
Yes.
And I looked through the kitchen hole in the back, and there's this dude straight out of Mexico. Like, his Asian grandparents didn't give him the box of secrets of how to make, you know, garlic green beans taste amazing. Like, this guy. But right next to him was this flame, like going almost to the ceiling in this wok. And it was like, there it is. Like, that's the thing. So I did a bunch of research and, you know, dove into it for way too long, bought this wok burner because it's actually the burner. It's not just the wok. That's
okay.
Where people get it wrong. They, you know, they buy a wok and then they use it on their home stove. And now they just have, you know, Rachel Ray food, but in a $50 wok.
Well, there goes Rachel Ray's funding.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Yeah. They're
the views expressed by Hunter do not know.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you had to buy. So what kind of like grill thing do you need to cook it?
Yeah. So you find this Asian guy in San Francisco that makes these outdoor burners. You have to do it outdoor. It's too many BTUs to be indoor. You know,
okay.
You,
okay.
And so yeah, his website's built in about 1995. And basically, you pay in full. And he said, in 6 to 8 weeks, maybe I'll send it to you. And I went,
wow,
okay.
He's that busy.
I mean, something, you know.
I think you found your own kind of cryptocurrency right there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let me give you a bunch of money, and we'll see what happens in 4 to 6 weeks.
Exactly. So I did. And I got the real deal carbon steel wok and, you know, all the stuff. And sure enough, 6 to 8 weeks later, this box with it had like children's coloring pages for packaging in it, like his kid's homework. Just put it in there. Why buy bubble wrap, you know? And yeah, and so
that's
you got
hilarious.
This like jet engine burner, and like that's the secret to the sauce.
Okay, so let me just put this in perspective.
Okay.
You have a green bean that you like for the first time, and you've gone on this journey, and now purchased an entire new cooking system for outdoors.
Yeah, totally. Like,
that's amazing.
It's one of those ridiculous first world problems where it's like, okay, now we have to build an outdoor kitchen.
Now we have to build an outdoor kitchen to make this happen.
Yeah.
I love it.
So so walk us through your favorite dish that you've cooked.
You know what? We're looking for a new host of Known Legacy.
I thought it was pretty good. Share with us your favorite recipe on there.
So it's a little bit like the French omelet. Like, you have to master the basics. And so the fried rice is the first,
ooh,
you know, the first thing that you just have to master. And so probably the best thing that I've made shocked me. It was actually like a lo mein. It was like a noodle dish.
Really?
The reason that, yeah. Well, the reason the burner is the key thing is that Chinese food kind of has, other than the MSG, right, is kind of that smoky, like you just can't capture that. Like, the veggies are crisp and everything,
yep,
but it's got this kind of smoke thing. And the reason that is that actually it's the flame going around the wok that actually, as you're tossing the food, it flies in the air, and the oils actually kind of like at a micro level incinerate almost. It's like a polymerization, whatever. And like they sear in that jet blast of air, and that's what creates that really unique flavor. And so
I'm so hungry right now.
Why is my mouth watering right now?
Yeah. Once you, It's kind of like anything else. Once you master the technique, I mean, you can do it to spinach, you know, like all these different greens. Like, it doesn't really matter what it is. It's just finding the technique and nailing it. And that's where, you know, again, the fried rice, like, just getting the basics.
I'm a skeptic, and I think the next thing we need to do is road trip and see if what he's saying is true.
Yeah, we need to really test this theory.
Probably need to test it for a few days, three meals a day.
Yeah.
Walk it up.
Well, it's funny. We've always said that, you know, because I'm from New York, and really good Chinese food, the fried rice is usually the
definer.
Yeah, the defining thing.
Totally.
And there has to be a moment where there's got to have eggs and, like, veggies, mm-hmm. kind of like, you know, carrots and peas, and it's got to have a light hint of cigarette taste in it. Like, it really does. And that's what it is, I guess. Apparently is.
Yes.
Like, it's like, and it's got to have at least two or three rats and some of the ceiling tiles down for it to be good, Chinese food. So I need to check this out. That's amazing. Well, Hunter, we're so glad to have you on. We have definitely taken this on a side already. The Lord has moved this to a different direction.
Yeah.
Of food. But no, the reason I wanted you on is to share a little more. Just like I said, hey, he has 12 Gate Coffee Company. You should see that right there. Check that out. And we're actually drinking some 12 Gate right now, which is great. Hunter is the founder of, there you go, right here. Here we go. There it is. Perfect. 12 Gate. And we're drinking Symmetry right now. So it is a Columbia Ethiopian mix of dark chocolate, brown sugar, and berry notes.
Tastes fantastic.
It's amazing. And so it's so good. But the reason I wanted you on is, man, you actually made some coffee for us a while ago, and we've watched you move from doing this in a small kind of facility to now having your own place. In fact, behind him, I think, is one of the roasters. I don't know if it's the only one, but it is the one of the ones that you've had. Maybe these beans came from that roaster. But I'd love you to share a little more of how you moved from starting that to then deciding to open up a coffee shop, which is now in Midland, Texas. So share a little bit about your story, man. You can start wherever you want to. We'd love to hear more about this whole thing.
Yeah, sure. So, I'm probably the most unlikely business person. I mean, my wife and I, we were full-time ministry, and that's all we wanted to do. That was it. 12 Gate mm-hmm. was birthed out of how do we pay our bills while we do what we really want to do type thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so we were in a town in Missouri at that point called Sweet Springs, with the ministry that you're well aware of. It's Armored Outreach with Brad Fogarty.
With Brad.
Yeah. And we had been given a K-12 campus. It was an old school campus that the town had built a new facility. And so it's a, 60,000 square foot facility. It's got a basketball gym and a full cafeteria and, like all these classrooms, and they just gave it to us. And so we had to do a ton of renovation, but what we ended up doing was building a discipleship facility out of that. And so
it doesn't sound abnormal for Brad though, just so you know. That doesn't sound abnormal at all.
Yeah, for sure. And so, yeah, it took us several years to piece by piece turn, science rooms into dorm rooms and math rooms into lounges and kitchens. And so ultimately what we wanted to do is, it was built as kind of a gap year program that, like right out of high school, but not into college yet. That was kind of our target, mm-hmm. Demographic and really turned into like ages 18 to 25. We wanted to do like a extended stay discipleship. And so instead of having someone for a week at a retreat, we wanted to have them for 16, and take an entire season out of their life and just really, really press into Jesus and do it. In a place that's in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it was in a town called Sweet Springs, and you could fall off the map and never know where this person disappeared to.
Yeah.
So it was ideal for that. So we did that for 14 years, just about. Yeah.
Wow.
Just absolutely incredible. And man, that was really, that was all I wanted. It was, okay, I want to give my life round the clock, every day of the week, of the month, of the year, of just all in pursuit of Jesus and do it with other people next to me. And so I was actually the leader. Obviously you have a kind of a guy's side and a girl's side, and I was the guy's leader. And so ended up getting married in that process and, really ruined the plans of all that.
They do that, don't they?
Yeah.
They tend to.
Yeah. I actually lived on site with the guys. And so, that's, can't really move in the dorm with the guys. So
yeah.
That began this conundrum of, okay, what do we do with Hunter, the ministry? And so they stuck me in this little, I call it a coffee shop, is a bit of an overscore. I mean, it was a pot of coffee sitting on a counter that served like five people a day, but we just wanted something for our town. Again, this is a town of 1,200 people, very impoverished town. And so,
yeah.
I said, okay, I kind of have a culinary-ish background, thus the obsession with the walk. And so I said, well, I mean, if I can make food, I can make coffee. And so that began the coffee journey. And so I took over running this coffee shop and slowly began growing it and, quality control and the food program. And then started roasting our own coffee because the roaster that we were trying to work with, we were so small, they didn't really want to put up with us. And so we were having a supply issue. So we started roasting coffee in a popcorn, like a Whirly Pop popcorn popper on
top of the
stove. Yep.
Yes. Crank the handle and it spins the kernels. Well, we just put green coffee in that pot and the green beans will turn brown eventually. And then you dump them out when they're done and you drink it. And it's better when you can get it at the grocery store. And so we thought we were really onto something, you know? And so we were cranking out batch after batch on the Whirly Pop and just telling all our friends about it. So proud. I still haven't cooked a, you know, I can't even call it roasted, cooked a batch of coffee in a Whirly Pop just to see what coffee tasted like back then. You know, it's been so many years and we've come so far and I would love to go back and go, this is what we were serving. You know?
I remember when I was younger, cause I had a friend who wanted to roast his own coffee and we would do that in popcorn poppers. And there was this thing called First Crack. It sounds like cellophane or something. Yeah, all that. And but we were terrible at it and it never tasted good. So I'm really impressed. Yeah. And now that was that old school coffee? Is that what that one? That place was
yeah. Okay. Yeah. We call it, because we were in our town knew, again, we were in the old school facility and they built a new school. Yeah. So everyone, we were all these outsiders that moved to Sweet Springs to be a part of this discipleship.
Who are these people? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, oh yeah, they're at the old school. So we were like, fine, we'll go with that. So everything on campus was, you know, old school coffee company, old school social for the restaurant that we opened, and really tried to just create a space that would our town could gather in and have life. And so, yeah, that was where really kind of the whole old school coffee and an old school roasting for a hot minute.
So that birth. So old school, fantastic name. I love it. Now it's 12 Gate. And I have no doubt it has some biblical undertones. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the name, where it came from, the shift to it, how you discovered that name, and why you're continuing to run after it. I love it, but would love to hear that side of the story.
Yeah, so we're roasting coffee in a Whirly Pop, you know, 8 ounces at a time. And so the cafe is actually starting to grow a little bit. And so, you know, one batch is 8 ounces, but a retail bag of coffee is 12. And so, you know, you're serving coffee and someone grabs a bag off the shelf. You go, oh, like there goes 40 minutes of my life, you know, like just to make that one bag plus, you know, so it's a very inefficient process. And so someone was in town and they were like, you should just buy a roaster. And I thought, this isn't my thing. Like roasters are very expensive. We're kind of just doing this until we go and do ministry, you know, kind of the next thing. And they just kept picking at me about it. And so finally, I was like, I'll pray about it. Just fine.
It's a good answer. Good answer.
I sat down with the journal early, you know, the next morning and just said, you know, all right, maybe we do need to figure something out here, God, you know, a bigger Whirly Pot, maybe, you know, like what do you,
industrial size,
perhaps a walk.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Have you done it in a walk yet?
You could. I've seen coffee roasted in all sorts of bizarre ways.
No, wow. I want to know if you've tried it in a wok yet, and how have you not tried it in a wok yet, and have you come up with names? Because Bill already has some names for what you can name that coffee done in the wok.
Walk this way.
Wow.
Walk up in the morning.
Wow. Okay. Moving back on. Yeah. Sorry, we just derailed you. I'm so sorry. Oh gosh.
Yeah. So I just said, hey, I'll pray about it, and. The next morning sat down and prayed about it and was shocked at what I felt like I was hearing. You know, I just started, like my heart started to be stirred in a way that it never had. And for reasons I didn't even have, of this global picture of this impact that reached far beyond things that were even on my radar, you know, to the point where I shut the journal, you know, an hour later, the kids wake up and morning starts and you go, okay, that was weird, you know? And so, but I'm going to go back to it again the next day. And so I go back down the next day and then it just keeps continuing and growing. And then, and I'm having these passages start come to mind that have a whole new life, and meaning to them. And really what I ended up writing down was this coffee company that had this global reach, and coffee is a very global product.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We have suppliers that say if you knew how many hands touched the coffee by the time you got to it, you probably wouldn't drink it. You know, just how many links are in the chain. And, you know, for an OCD person, that's, you know, nerve wracking. For someone that's, you know, thrilled with the gospel, each of those is an opportunity for impact.
And so I'm
looking at this paper and this huge vision and this thing that I've never even really considered. I mean, my my gospel scope at that time, for better or worse, included America and Israel. Those are the two places I looked at, you know, like I know where I'm at now and I know where he's going to be sometime soon. And so let's kind of keep a pulse on both of those. And so I've got this piece of paper. And I mean, at that point I had a specific roaster that was like $25,000. I had two in my bank account, you know, like I'm doing ministry and roasting coffee on a Whirly Pop, like, you know, crypto isn't a thing yet. So I don't have the income to pull this off.
You can't make it happen yet.
Did you apply for USAID?
Oh gosh.
Oh man.
Just kidding. Keep moving.
I didn't know about it at the time.
Exactly. Unfortunately. So what happened? So now you're at this, because I feel like that's where a lot of people are, and that's why I want to speak into this. I think these points matter, because most people would look at it and they would say, oh man, like even like biblically,
yes,
like, man, the chariots are made of iron. I can't do it. Like they'd look at the immediate problem and say, no, what caused you to go, hey, I'm going to look beyond the situation to what God has. Walk us through that a little bit.
I really believe a lot in listening to the Lord. It's a practice. It's not something I sit down and just ask a question and go, well, I kind of felt this tingly, so I'm going to go do it. You know, like I've definitely walked through the discipline of, okay, I'm asking the Lord of things. I'm having things stir. I'm just going to write it down and see how time plays that out. And when I go, okay, I was on to something, I go, well, remember that. And when it's wrong, I go, okay, where did it get convoluted? Where did it get, you know, distorted? And I remember that. And I try to just discern. I mean, if Jesus only did what he saw God doing and only spoke what he heard him saying, it meant that there was a constant dialogue, a constant conversation that was going on. And if I want to walk in that example, well, then I better start practicing it, you know? And so when I'm sitting down and writing something that is a thing that I know when this gets hit, you better pay attention. And it was that thing. I was like, oh my gosh, but this is not what I saw on my radar, you know, about day three of doing it. And I went, well, you know, I gotta put this in front of the executioner, which is my wife. You know, any dumb idea, she'll ask that immediately, especially something that involves $25,000, $30,000, $40,000, you know?
Yeah.
Like that's going to, I this is already going to be on the chop block. And so I finally, you know, with fear and trembling, you know, kind of came in front of her and said, man, this is what I'm praying about right now. You know, why don't you go ahead and ask this and let's move on. And I say that tongue in cheek, but I think that was kind of the back of my mind. And she didn't, you know, something in her really resonated. And she said, I think we need to press into this, which for me is like, okay, let's really figure this out. And so we started praying about it. And one of the few times where it's like, 5 days in, 7 days in, and this thing is not leaving me alone. And I get a call from some people that are sweet, they're precious, they're kind of mentors in my life, but they live in a different state. And they called me and they, you know, just checking in. Hey, what are you doing? And you know, this is what we're doing. And they said, well, what's God telling you right now? You know, and I'm going, you don't want it. Like, let's just save our time. You know, but they said, no, tell me what God's telling you. And I went, well, if you really want to know, we're praying about this thing, you know, and I think we're supposed to do it. And we're just kind of figuring out the details right now. And I just heard on the other end of the line, like somehow I heard crying, even though it wasn't sobbing, but like I could just feel this momentum. And I kind of heard a trembly voice and they went, we're going to do it, you know? And I was like, oh, you're going to pray with me. That's great. And I said, no, we're funding this.
What?
You know? Yeah. And I was just like, what are you talking about? I don't even know what I'm doing. Like, I've never even touched it. I want a Whirly Pop 2.0 and you want to buy me a commercial roaster. And you know, like, I don't think you get it. This is a horrible investment for you. And they said, no, like we have to do this. And 5 days later, you know, the money is being wired to buy a roaster that I've never even touched a commercial roaster at this point. Most of the time you apprentice and you work for another company, you steal their secrets, and then you go start your own a little bit later and like never even, you know. And so, you know,
man, you kind of jumped through a bunch of really good stuff that I want to kind of re-hit. It really feels as though, man, as we journey with this, one of the things I definitely took away was there is something spiritual and there's something holy in you and your wife being on the same page.
Correct.
And I think there's a lot of guys that are like, the Lord's calling me to this. And the lady's like, okay. You know, and I'm like, yeah. I think there's a huge element of saying, make sure that your wife is on board. You guys are one flesh. And I love that you said, I'm going to bring this to her and I'm going to see, God, what you're going to say about this. Letting that be a linchpin, not because she's evil, not because she's the sleeping dragon, but to go, God, if you're in this, then we're in this. It's not a one out.
And if the Spirit's in it, he's already been working on her heart to bring unity in the vision and the mission.
And you know? Yes. And I think more times than not do I talk to guys who say, yeah, I finally brought this to my wife. And the wife goes, I've been waiting for you to get on board. And so yeah. I love that you did that. And I love the fact that you just stayed in it. And man, you just allowed the Spirit to make that move. And I think that's the other thing. It was faithful in the little. And God's like, I'm not going to give you another step. I'm going to give you the big step from a whirly pop to this roaster. And I think there's value in us saying, guys, don't limit the Father.
Right.
I still do that all the time. I still go, but I can't see what you're going to do next. And so if you're out there, if you guys are out there struggling with, I've got this idea, keep wrestling and ask God to open those doors. Make sure that your wife's on board if you're married. And from there, seek the Lord to say, God, if it's you, then make it happen. But I didn't hear Hunter at all say, well, I just stopped praying and I just worried about it.
Well, and I think, you know, what you also see is, first off, obedience and listening.
Yeah.
Second is, he might give you a plan, but he might not give you a solution to the hurdles, because often, I mean, what does scripture say? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and it's enough for the next step.
The next one.
The next step. And so often we don't want to move until we know a mile down the road what's going to be.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I'll give you the destination. I'll even reveal that to you to a certain degree. But to get there, there's going to be acts of faithfulness and obedience. That's just one step at a time, one step at a time, and just continue to rely on me. And that's what I hear in your story. And so I love it. So where did 12 Gate come from?
Yeah. So they hand build these roasters. And so we've got about 8 weeks before it actually shows up. And so that's when we're going, okay, this thing's really jumping to a level that we weren't really thinking of at the time. And so names are really important to us. You know, like one, because it's going to be your brand, but also it just matters. I mean, every person that comes across you is going to go, well, why'd you name it Hunter's Roasting? And it's like, ah, because that's my name. It's like, I just want something more meaningful than that. I mean, even if you look at, what is it? I think it's the lineage from Adam all the way through Noah. If you take their names and just put them all the way together, it tells the story.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, like apparently it's something that God really, you know, is intentional about. And so again, so should I, you know, and so we, sat down with my wife's name's Destiny. And so sat down with Des. I remember exactly where we were at. It's like 11:30 at night, which is like dreadful for me. It's her normal, you know, that's not what I do. And we were like, we really need to name this thing. And so we were sitting on a couch and we said, well, let's just pray. Let's just see what happens. And so we prayed. It was probably 5 minutes, you know, which is like nothing to every other culture, but to America, that's like, okay, I've been here 5 minutes, kind of getting long, type deal. We're just listening and praying. And Destiny picks up a Bible that was sitting on a nightstand, and she flips all the way to Revelation, you know, which is, you know, you kind of, anytime someone goes there, you kind of poke up an eyebrow, you know, like, where are you going with this? You know, and she went to 21. And we just read it, and it's the end. I mean, it's the redemptive plan of God is complete. It's the finish, you know. Mm. And at that point, heaven is established on earth, and it says that the kings of the earth will bring the glory of the nations into the city. And what's inside that city is everything that you and I could ever want. It's Jesus, you know. And the way that you get in is you walk through 12 gates, four walls, the corner of the earth, north, south, east, and west, and those gates are the entry point to get in there. And you know that the gates were just really, really standing out to us. And I don't know if you want to call it a dream, call it a vision, call it whatever you're comfortable with, but I just had this moment where it was almost like John was in Revelation. He kind of had that angel escort, you know, that guy kind of giving him a tour. And it's like I was there as well, and someone was standing next to me. And we were on a hill, and we were looking at this road that was leading to the city, and it was just packed with people. And and I looked and I saw faces. And when I saw it, I went, oh my gosh, I remember you. Like, you were in Guatemala. We did an origin trip visit. We bought coffee from you. We signed a contract, you know, like, and they're going to those gates, you know, and others was, you know, stateside wholesale account, you know, someone stateside, but like I, the coffee industry is a bankrupt industry when it comes to moral and spiritual. I mean, at the very forefront of the things that are anti the law and heart of God, you know, and like, because of us doing business completely different and the hand of God moving through us, they're going into the city. And it was because of our, you know, because they were a wholesale kind. And I just was like floored by that. And, you know, for us, the gates is really the finish line. Like that's the destination. And so as a company, is every decision that we make, you know, every opportunity that we look at, are those just good ideas? Or are they pointing to that? Like, is that the compass? Are they going to those gates? Because I don't want to waste time with great ideas. You know, I want to labor and co-labor with the Lord in what's heading towards those gates. And so it kind of became the, you know, the compass for our company. And
I love it.
Yeah, 12 gates is like overtly Christian. And so we dropped the S off the last one and, you know, call it 12 gate. And, you know.
Love it.
We don't want snow coming a mile away. You know, we work in a very secular industry, and so yeah, call it 12.
And I really wish there was a deeper, more spiritual meaning to your coffee company. that's incredible. I mean, I kind of knew some of it, but I really am glad that we can bring awareness to it, because I think the way in which you're making an impact in this generation inside this kind of company is powerful, and that's why we wanted to have you on today. And so we're grateful to hear. I know we've got more to share, but I definitely want to. I'd love to have you on again to share more about some of those hardships, because I think there's a lot of people that are sitting there with this desire and they're trying to make it happen on their own strength, on their own dollar. And they're going, it's impossible.
Right.
And I do believe that there's a lot of guys, men and women, who want to step out. And I think this is the calling, is to say, hey, God has something more for you, but have you stopped to even listen to his voice?
Right.
Have you spent time to say, is there anything, am I living in any kind of willful sin that I need that I can't hear the voice of God right now? And am I on the same page with my bride? Like, so I love your challenge today. I love what you've sought out, man. And thank you so much for your faithfulness and the example. Again, you guys can get, I know we've got the Fast Five coming up, but you can get 12 gate. The people can order online and have it shipped to their house, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
12 okay. gate. .com.
There it is. Look at that. 12gate.com. We'll put the link in there. But my challenge is, I hope that that if you're listening to this, you'll go and buy at least a pound from Hunter, because, man, the value of what he's doing, he's not just making coffee. He is truly the desire to change lives. And so being there, and he's also got a local coffee shop in Midland.
Yes.
That I've been to many times. Now that I've been there a couple times, I don't see him anymore because he's so busy in the business of this,
right
that but man, it is a great place to go and just sit and do some studying as well.
Hey, and if you ever release like a limited time vintage Whirly Pop blend, I'd be all in on that.
Yeah, there we go.
Whirly, you know, Pop, right. 2.0
or the vintage wok made
yes
coffee bean.
Yes,
that'd be I'd be in I'd there be in go. Man, with a hint of okay. soy.
Oh man, the names we could come up with.
Oh, we'll begin. Anyways, the quality control.
Yes,
that's
Hunter,
awesome.
Man. Thank you so much for your story. We really appreciate it. But we, as always, it's the goofiest thing we do. But I love it. Go.
Yeah. Okay. So we do this thing, and because we're gonna do some final thoughts from you at the end. But we have a part of our podcast session we called Fast Five. There it is, Fast Five. And okay. So we got a couple questions for you, man. Are you ready for these?
I hope.
Okay, good. Who do you most admire and why?
Oh, gosh. All right. The boring answer is probably my father.
There's nothing boring about that, There's nothing boring about honoring your mom and dad like that. So that's fantastic. But anyways, continue on. Continue on.
Dad's a phenomenal human.
Yes, he is.
The second one, I would say, believe it or not, and this one's, I'm going to go with Deion Sanders.
Really? Okay. Why is that?
Yeah, but not Deion as a player, Deion as a coach. I'm fascinated. Okay. I'm fascinated with the power of vision. And so you take someone that goes into the University of Colorado. Okay, so Deion Sanders is a former, you know, NFL player, and now he's coaching at the University of Colorado football. And 2 years ago, the year before he took over the program, Colorado was like 1-13, I think. And Deion Sanders comes and takes over that program and basically begins to question everyone of, do you believe? Like, that was his thing. Like, do you believe that basically this can change? And you got to watch as a team that was 1-13 the year prior gets someone in there that has a vision. And that's what he brought. He brought vision. And like the gravity that gets built around someone with vision, I think is just phenomenal to watch. I mean, it's a pretty interesting concept that when the Tower of Babel is built, the unification they had on their vision was so startling that God himself said, if we don't go down there and get involved, nothing will stop them. And their plan was ridiculous. Their plan was to build a tower so big that they could go to heaven. I mean, like, it's a dumb idea to begin with. But yet, because of there was such synergy of vision and then everyone on board to accomplish it, a meeting in heaven happened, and they had to come down and interfere or else nothing would stop these guys. I mean, that's just wild, the power of vision. And Deion Sanders doing it with, extravagant flair, which I think is hilarious. But
Deion.
Some real fruit to back it up. So it would seem, I think, is very entertaining and very inspiring.
Nice. Love it. All right, number two, where would you like to go on a vacation?
I think you got to pick New Zealand.
New Zealand?
Yeah.
Hang out with the hobbits?
Yeah, Lord of the Rings? Yeah. So good.
Go check out the Shire, Lothlórien. You want mountains, you want beach, you want whatever, it's all right there.
We're going on an adventure.
I love it.
All right, what are you currently reading, whether it's the Bible or another book?
I know the readers are leaders. I'm not much of a reader right now. I read outside of the Word. I find very little time to read. But the last book that I read was a book by J. Kenji Altez, and it was called The Walk.
Like W-O-K or W-A-O-K?
W-O-K.
Okay, that's fantastic. Yeah, Full circle, baby.
Yeah, we brought it back around. Yeah, we walked you back into that conversation.
Stop.
That was good. That was good.
Between a walk and a hard place.
I'm going to clap for that one.
No, don't.
Oh, dad jokes all the way. He is a father, too, so he gets the award for dad jokes, too. But okay, number four, what is a goal you have for this year?
So obviously we have a number of them for our organization, you know, financial goals and team building goals, but those are probably boring. We have two in my home. One is kind of an outside the home and one is inside the home. We're still new in the town that we just moved into. We had, you know, a life set up back in Missouri and in Midland. We're still outsiders. And so we really want to build. We love Shabbat, you know, on Friday night. Like, it's just, it's something that we almost have a life built around. I went to Israel several years ago and was just completely blown away by the experience of it. And just went, this has to be kingdom. And so had a almost like a, as I think it should be, right? You could set your watch to it in the town we were in. It was like this cycle of so many people in our home, and it was amazing. And so we're wanting to get that set up here pretty soon. You know, if you've never been to Israel and done Shabbat, I mean, it's just the entire, everything shuts down. And if you don't have a home to be in, you're in, like, you can literally line up at the Western Wall. And if you're from out of town, you don't have a home, they're like, hey, you come with us, you know, and you,
wow,
you
go into
this, and it's food and drink and singing. And I mean, just,
oh, that's literally cool.
Everything stops and you bless each other and you share everything you got and you leave way too late, you know. And it's this the closest thing that an American could experience is maybe like Thanksgiving, you know. No one goes to work, everyone's together, there's this camaraderie, and it's like, and you guys do this every week, this is amazing. We're wanting to set our home up to facilitate that, and then with my, you know, that's kind of the outside the home. And then inside the home, my kids, I've got three kids, and they're really starting to get to the age where, not that every age doesn't matter, but I'm like, okay, it really starts to matter now. And so I'm really wanting to set up ways to spend really really specific and intentional time in the Word with them.
That's great.
Just with Dad, understanding. You know, I teach every Friday night at Shabbat. We read before we, but it's just our family right now. And I always teach my kids. We never just read the Bible. We ask God to open our eyes, open our, and they point. They go, open our eyes, open our ears, and open our heart. Like, we want things to come alive for us. And I need to start actually walking with them in that, not just teaching them that it's possible. And so we're trying to think of some really habitual practices, this many times a week, this time, non-negotiable. I'm with my kids and this is what we're doing. And so it's a discipline. If you don't build it out, they graduate and you go, oh wait, yeah, we really should have done that.
Yeah, exactly. Time not wasted. So, okay, one more question. What is the most impactful piece of advice you've ever been given?
Oh, interesting.
Most impactful piece of advice you've ever been given.
So I'm going to, I'll probably be a boring answer. I don't know that a certain phrase has necessarily changed my life. I mean, there's been a couple that I went, oh, that's a good, but I've seen examples from people that have really changed my life. Brad Fogarty is probably one of those. I lived with him for a while and just saw someone so believing in the Word that it became the filter of what he did. And that was really kind of a very eye-opening experience for me of, wait, I don't compartmentalize this. I become this,
So
I think that was probably the most life-changing, And then awesome. I guess just to have to answer, I think we work with a lot of young people. And so obviously they're all trying to get married. And so my dad told me, the person that you do life with will be the one that will shepherd the most precious thing that you have.
Yep.
So maybe think about that,
Love it, man.
When you're picking one out.
Man, I appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for spending so much time with us and love the conversation. And as always, go online, grab yourself some of this fantastic 12-gate coffee, 12date.com, and they'll ship it to you wherever. I'm sure it's fresh, and man, I've thoroughly enjoyed and been encouraged by this conversation.
Yeah, it's been really good. Hunter, we're going to get you back on again. We'd love to connect with you again, but for now, please support Hunter's business and his impact in the world and community. I know that he doesn't need that, but man, we are so grateful for that. But Hunter, thank you so much for being on today. It was a blessing. Guys, thank you so much for listening.
Yep.
Check us out. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Facebook, all those kind of things.
KnownLegacy.org. Info@KnownLegacy. Remember, Kyle is the one that you want to address that to.
Address all those problems too.
Anyways, God bless you guys. Have a great week.
Thanks a lot. Have a great week, guys. We'll see you soon.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Known Legacy Podcast. We'd love to hear from you, so email us your questions or comments to info@knownlegacy.org.